We also got a game on Sunday, Browns-Eagles in Philly. And to talk about it now, we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, a Pro Football Network, SiriusXM NFL Radio, Sports Grid TV. The great Adam Kaplan joins us now. Adam, welcome to the show, bud.
Guys, good to be with you. Yeah. Congrats to the guards to this point, and I look forward to tomorrow's game. And by the way, I checked that hour-by-hour forecast. I do that for a lot of reasons, and it looks like it may rain around 2 o'clock tomorrow. Mm. So, yeah, I could certainly see why they moved it.
So I do have to ask you, how are Phillies fans doing? Just a little worried?
Oh, dude, it's brutal. Let me tell you something. It's the only team – well, I mean, Eagles, I'm objective because I cover the NFL for a living, so I can't be a fan of them. But getting to the Phillies, it's exactly what got them to lose last year, shockingly. Now, they were in shock. The fans were in shock here in Philly last year when they lost in the playoffs to the Diamondbacks, an inferior team. But losing this year, I was not surprised. It's amazing. They just don't hit. Very undisciplined, and you could count on it. They're going to break up part of that team. I would expect the Phillies to have mostly a new outfield next season.
Ooh, okay.
Wow. Yep.
All right, that's what happens when you lose to the Mets in the ALDS, I suppose.
Yeah, and that look, yeah, exactly, because you're talking about a two-hour drive from Philly. Yeah, that's painful for Philly fans. Exactly.
We're going through a little bit of pain here with the quarterback situation.
You think?
Yeah. It's one of those things. But here's, you know what? I'm looking around. I'm looking around the league, and I don't think the prices of a quarterback are coming down anytime soon.
Right.
Jalen Hurts got paid, after the season that he had. You were going to toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. I see why they did what they did. Last two seasons has not been, it's been better than Watson. I give him that. But how are the fans feeling about, Hurts at this moment, given the fact that it looks like he's regressed a bit since his Super Bowl performance?
You're absolutely right. So in every NFL city, I do radio in five or six of them a week. And, I always look at social media because I want to get a feeling for – when I'm on with hosts, okay, what are the hot button topics? Obviously, Watson in Cleveland, Stefanski occasionally, and others. But in Philly, it's Nick Sirianni's public enemy number one, the head coach. We also can get into that. Hurts is two, and Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator, is three. So why isn't Jalen number one? Well, Jalen's well liked by the fans, but they're starting to see the reality of Jalen Hurts, where he had an unbelievable year 2 years ago, kind of nowhere. What's ironic about it is that the Eagles pursued Watson, and quite frankly, had he wanted to come to Philly, knowing the way the Eagles deal with transactions, I think there was a very good possibility he would have been an Eagle, but he didn't want to come to Philly. They looked elsewhere and couldn't get Russell Wilson, another quarterback, so they settled on Hurts, and he had a breakout season. And then you mentioned it, he regressed last season, was very up and down. And then this season, he hasn't had A.J. Brown since week one. We have to note that, and Devontae Smith didn't play in the last game due to a concussion. He got hurt around halfway in the New Orleans game, which they shockingly won on the road, being that they were down a lot of players. So, look, it's been an up-and-down season for the Eagles. Much has been expected. They're in a division that's kind of been improved. I'm a little surprised that Washington's as good as they were. I was with Washington in training camp. I don't think they thought they were going to get off to this kind of start. But, look, it's early. We've only been through 5 weeks. The Eagles are 2-2. They play a Browns team, and obviously, anyone who bets on games thinks the Eagles are going to kill them, because the line, let's not talk about the line in May. The line that came out on Sunday was 6.5. It's now up to 9.5. So obviously, the betting public thinks the Eagles are going to smash the Browns. Folks, I could tell you, there are a record number of games in the National Football League of 7 points or less right now. So if you're a bettor, I'd be careful. As bad as the Browns have been, and I could tell you, we on my show, Inside the Birds, with my partner, Jeff Mosher, and I, we have Greg Cosell on every week. Greg works for us from NFL Films. And if you search Inside the Birds on YouTube, wait till you see Greg's breakdown of Watson. I'm not going to give it away. We break down a lot of Watson and Hurts and some other stuff. We do a great film study on Watson, and you could just search Inside the Birds. You will love it.
Adam, I got to say, buddy, you're going to hear where we are with this Brown season with this next question. Mm-hmm. But because the Browns are 9.5-point dogs in this game, because this game is at home and this would push the Eagles to 2-3, if the Browns win, do we have to immediately worry about Nick Sirianni's job?
Every interview I've done this week, it's funny you mention that, because everyone's asking me. I think people who used to work for the Eagles are asking me. They think I have the pulse of that building. I'm like, I don't think Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, would do that. It's too early. They're not like the Jets, like Woody Johnson. It's so unpredictable. Now, I think Nick was in trouble after last season, losing 6 out of 7, and then this 2-2 start. I think that's hurt him. But there's just too much of the season, and Jeffrey Lurie's only fired one head coach in season, and that was Chip Kelly, and that had to happen. Chip kind of lost the building, and he fired him leading up to the Week 17 game in 2015, and then Pat Shurmur, ironically, the former Browns head coach, took over.
You know, one of the things that's just really fascinating to me, being a former defensive lineman, is watching the way the Eagles, when they went in the Super Bowl, I mean, their pass rush up front was dominant. I mean, they had got waves of guys, Haason Reddick and guys coming out. And you know, now to see where they are now, I believe you guys had 6 sacks on the season. It's night and day of what it used to be. What kind of happened up front? Obviously, Reddick leaving. They did go out and replace him with a guy. But what are the thoughts on the pass rush? And you mentioned the defensive coordinator as being a guy that is public enemy number 3, if I do
the math right. Yeah, you have a good memory, quick memory. Yeah, so here's what happened, okay? So, yeah, you mentioned the Reddick story, and you know he's no longer an Eagle, and obviously the Jets are dying without him. They really need him. I mean, their defense is good, but, boy, they could use him. They lost Jermaine Johnson, one of their starting ends, for the season due to a torn Achilles. So what they did is, it's interesting, they signed Bryce Huff, formerly of the Jets, who had never been a starter. He's been a sub-package rusher and one of the best sub-package rushers in the National Football League. He's been awful. He's struggled. He's used to playing as a hand-in-the-dirt pass rusher, and Fangio stands his edges up, and it's not working. And also, Nolan Smith, a first-rounder 2 years ago, he's been a big zero. He's done next to nothing. That's hurt. So it's been a nightmare. Jalen Carter is incredibly gifted. He had a career game 2 weeks ago against New Orleans. He took the game over kind of like Aaron Donald, but it's really the only good game he's played this season. And we had Brian Hoyer on it. You remember Brian Hoyer, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
Former Browns quarterback. Yep. So Hoyer came on our show last week. And Brian flat out said, because he was with Fangio in Chicago, if Vic's scheme will not work without a pass rush. He doesn't blitz. He's about 25%. And ironically, what's comical is Jim Schwartz, who's Mr. Anti-Blitz, third highest blitz rate in the National Football League at 35.3 because they can't get home. And there's a saying in the National Football League, when you can't get home with 4, you bring 5. You can't get home with 5, you bring 6. So Fangio's going to come out of this bye here, and you're smart to bring this up. He better start doing something, because you can't ask Brandon Graham at 36 years old to play the amount of snaps that he's playing. It's just not realistic that he's going to last.
Adam, there is an internal debate in the Cleveland media with Browns fans whether Kevin Stefanski has the decision to bench Deshaun Watson, whether he has that power. And there's some folks that say Kevin has no power, meaning no voice in the conversation. Can you just speak to the perception around the NFL about, because I think in greater detail, it does seem like people think Kevin doesn't have nearly the power that you would expect for a head coach here in Cleveland.
All right, so I'll give you the Cliff Notes version of this as a way, just the way that the feeling around the league is, you asked, okay? It's totally contract related. Well, not totally. It's mostly contract related, but there are a couple steps here. So when you look at his contract, he's got to play. I mean, I hate that's the case, but he's got to play. They owe him $92 million after this season, fully guaranteed, $46 million guaranteed this season. We know he restructured to help them with a cap, but that doesn't get you a starting job. So the way that I see it, and based on people I've spoken with, it's basically a front office ownership decision. And the other thing is, and I know coaches around the league who are very connected to Cleveland. There's this real belief that, well, first of all, if you go back to Flacco, right? Had Flacco come back, this is just me speaking. I'm not saying they said this, but this has come from coaches who know Browns coaches and what goes on there. They feel like if Flacco came back, and let's say Watson got benched or got hurt, and Flacco played well, Deshaun wouldn't be able to handle it. There's just there's a confidence thing. It's hard to explain. I could just tell you folks that he has to play because of the contract. That's to boil this down to what it really is. Usually head coaches have decisions. This is totally contract related. I'm convinced of it. And I could tell you, there was a point in the offseason Flacco was coming back. I don't know what happened. I was going to actually report it, but I backed off when I heard that. And Joe actually confirmed it. They never made him an offer. But I could tell you at the combine, it was leaning towards them bringing him back, and they changed their mind. I don't know what happened. Very strange.
Adam, wow. Excellent stuff. That adds a layer here to an otherwise very fun Football Friday.
Yeah.
Really great stuff, man. Appreciate you. And my thoughts and prayers go out to Phillies fans.
Yeah, and look, let's see the guards win. And I hope, it would be unbelievable if the Browns came into Philly. It would be... Wow. And by the way, Watson could still throw the football. He hasn't lost any arm strength. It's everything else. Confidence is a big thing with him, clearly.
All right, buddy. We appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
Adam Kaplan there in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, Pro Football Network, SiriusXM NFL Radio, Sports Grid TV. Gave us plenty to react to, and we're going to do that next on 92.3 The Fan. And I want to get to this in just a second. We do have the Northeast Ohio Transportation blog. Has written another piece saying that the clock expires on keeping the Browns downtown. You guys know we've been talking a lot about the stadium. Do you move to Brook Park? And part of this, the verbiage is the city offered up Burke Lakefront Airport. Unfortunately, that did not fit the timeline for the Browns. So we've got seemingly more evidence. It looks like the Browns will be moving long-term to Brook Park. We will be talking, by the way, with Daryl Ryder about the latest report here. His reporting has been spot on with everything. That's coming up at 6 o'clock today. It's a Football Friday. I'm not saying, listen, I thought the most interesting thing about that is that at the Combine, everything was leaning towards Joe Flacco came back, and then from then in between free agency and then, he didn't come back, obviously.
I looked at it like this, and I think we're very naive. And this is the game I really don't like playing. Like, we got to understand that, like, you know, what has transpired here and understand what the circumstances are. In this city, we went through 1-31. We drafted Baker Mayfield, who was probably one of the most, in the beginning, one of the most well-beloved Cleveland Browns to ever put a jersey on. Baker Mayfield has a cult following. Like at a certain point in time, there were people I heard that I worked with that said when Baker was leaving to go to Carolina, that they were going to get Baker Mayfield jerseys in Carolina and root for the Panthers. And these guys covered these
guys. Wasn't me, by the way. Just so you know,
He was already there. That was a red herring. We're not talking about Nick Wilson, but it's crazy that. That's how polarizing Baker was. And so when you have the backdrop of Baker leading the game against the Steelers, you know, opening the beer coolers, that whole thing. And then he's somehow jettisoned and people thought this was your franchise quarterback. You have to realize of what Deshaun Watson is coming into. So now you have allegations. You got $230 million guaranteed. And the fact that it's been reported that he turned the Browns down the first time. You know what that means here. If you don't want to be here, Nick, you better have a loyalty test in the city of Cleveland. Now, Flacco, he gets hurt, he plays, and the worst thing that could have happened, I guess for him being anointed as a guy that people love in the city, is Joe Flacco comes in. And throws for 300 yards, and the offense looks like, wow, where was this at? They go to the playoffs. There is no way that you could have theoretically brought back Joe Flacco and had Deshaun Watson. Now, people say, for right or wrong, well, I want a guy that wants to compete. I want a guy. You got to realize what they were trying to do with him. They were trying to rehabilitate him mentally and physically. And Joe Flacco being there, in my opinion, was a no-win situation, especially if he played bad.
I always understood that point. That's probably a pretty strong indictment on Deshaun. And where he was at, if that is the truth, though.
Yeah.
Like, if they said, we're going to bring him back, and then whether it's Deshaun's folks or whether it's they just decided, hey, internally, we can't do this, or maybe they decided, where we're going to take the offense, Joe doesn't fit it anymore, however you slice it, whatever changed your decision, in hindsight, does look pretty foolish because of where you are now. But I continue to say that's one sin. The then sin to come out and to put what they put out on the field, which the promised offense is, we're going to try and marry what Kevin likes to do, which I'm sick of hearing. I like to do a lot of things. All right? There's a lot of things I like to do. I'm a grown-ass man. There are things I have to do.
Yeah, or you better do.
To keep this job, to keep my family. Like, I'm sick of this idea. Well, it's what like Kevin likes to do. But anyways, it was Kevin's offense meets the Houston offense, right? The Bill O'Brien. Some spread concepts, some of the stuff they did in New England. And we haven't seen it. I see shades of Kevin's offense. I see shades of ideas of what they want to do. But everyone's out here playing film store detective. And, this guy's open. This guy's open. And just putting it all on Deshaun. And what kills me about it is, and I'll be honest with you, it was listening to Ken this morning. I actually want to thank Ken because I have been spinning my wheels just infuriated at people constantly, all roads lead back to Deshaun. I'm not telling you this is salvageable anymore. I'm not telling you, Philadelphia, there's a game. Go throw for 300 yards. Change the conversation. The conversation's the same. The play cannot be defended. But to put it all on that, if we keep just putting it all on Baker Mayfield or Deshaun Watson, we're just going to be here again with a new quarterback.
That's it.
Like, this is about, like, and dude, you face it every day. You're a married man, right? I'm a married man. We're both guys in specific professions that you got to walk a certain line to stay employed and to be productive and happy and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes down to it, when I screw up, I got to own it. And it's weird how there seems to be, in terms of externally, a lack of culpability of, hey, maybe it is just Joe Woods. Hey, maybe it is just Baker. Hey, maybe it is. And nobody's caught on to this thinking of, well, are we getting better or are we scapegoating? Because sometimes they're the same damn thing.
This is why, you know what? You're talking right now. You're preaching right now. Because I've always said it before. We can even take it back a bit further. When they had to get rid of Odell Beckham Jr. because they had pictures of him saying he was open. We're going to cut him. Okay. You had to cut him. You had issues in the locker room after that with Jarvis Landry, right? Then you get the Baker situation where Baker's like, I'm going to have elective surgery. You go all the way through these scenarios, and we continue the Joe Woods situation. Then it's Deshaun Watson. And then we get here. At what point in time does your head coach bear any responsibility for anything? And now the ridiculous talking point is this. Well, it's the Haslams. The Haslams won't let him make any decisions. Mm-hmm. They won't let him change the offense. They won't let him take Deshaun out. They won't let him pick the color of the jerseys. He's just here, and Kevin Stefanski is an innocent bystander. And by the way, if he gets fired today, someone would hire him tomorrow. If that was the case, let me ask you a question. If Kevin Stefanski was so hireable and this was what it was going to be, why is it that when this was presented to him at his contract extension, which took a long time to get, why would you not have those said things in writing, those said things in concrete that, hey, if I take this job, I want the ability to play the quarterback I want. I want to run my offense. I choose the X, Y, and Z. Why is it that he signed up for a job when he knew he didn't have that ability to make these calls?
So why? I think what you're pointing at is something that Ken opened my eyes to. Because I've said it sure seems like we're just, okay, yeah, Kevin's been bad, but look over here. Oh, yeah, but this hasn't worked, but look over here. And Ken put it in a way that actually kind of broke my brain in a good way earlier today.
Nick is right about it being an organizational decision. That's not the issue, though. The issue is, does he have any say in the matter at all? That's the issue that people are having. That's the question that really can't be answered. And because it's not clear that he has any say whatsoever in who plays or Deshaun Watson playing, that is what's drawing the ire of the fans. Because I think in a lot of ways, like, yes, there has been, because they're 1-4, the vocal minority has started to raise their pitchforks again towards Kevin Stefanski, but they were gone for a good long time, except in certain pockets. Now, I think a lot of people are going, hey, if you had to ask a question to trust, far more people trust Kevin Stefanski than what they do the quarterback here. And when you are being told, or you are wondering, that the coach has no power whatsoever on who starts on Sunday at the most important position, that tends to lead a lot of people to think some really bad things about the team.
So the line, the coach has no power, that, thank you, Ken, for spelling it out for me. I cannot abide that. I get that Kevin might not have as much power as You know, like Mike, maybe what Mike Vrabel had in Tennessee for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt that the power dynamics here are different because the owner's super involved. Paul DePodesta is a weird Svengali creature that we don't quite know what he does. But like this idea that Kevin has no say or that Kevin has no power is an absolute cop out to hold anybody, including the head coach of a football team. If Kevin had no power, he would have lost the locker room far before maybe the last five games.
It's one of those things where it's all like, I don't know if people think this. At the rate that things are going, if you want to believe that Kevin Stefanski can just continually run out the same thing, don't change anything with the playbook, don't change anything with the coordinator or the quarterback, and the Browns have a terrible season and they win 3, 4 games, 5 games. I hope you know that that's not going to be a valid excuse when you go into the owner's office. Because here's the thing. At that point, you're looking at, in the face, a rebuild. You're looking right in the mouth of a rebuild. And if you are ownership, you're going to say, well, I got Myles Garrett coming in here telling me to get me up out of here. I got Denzel Ward rethinking things. We might need to go get a new quarterback, but do I trust the fact that you guys have kind of bungled the last two?
Well, let's just be honest here. Kevin Stefanski seems to be turning into Paul DePodesta. Nobody, when it's good, Kevin gets credit.
Coach of the year.
But nobody knows what he does when things break down. Well, the locker room. Well, but it's a leadership, right? Oh, but it's the players lead the way. Okay. Well, on-field discipline. Well, you know what? Again, like that's kind of on the coordinators, right? Well, okay, the quarterback decision. That's the Haslams. Okay, so I'm supposed to believe that Kevin Stefanski is just a good-looking Manchurian candidate. He just shows up and says, what do I do today, guys? Because that is another thing. I'll give you he might not have as much power as other coaches. I'm not giving you he has no power, and he has no say over leadership, over the quarterback decision, over individual decisions. Like, at some point, if he doesn't have the power, then get his ass out of here and find somebody who has and is comfortable with those powers.
I mean, Ken Dorsey was hired here. I don't think Ken Dorsey – look at his face when Kevin Stefanski came out and said he was going to call the plays. You think Ken Dorsey knew he was going to call – he came in here fully understanding and thinking, hey, they just got rid of the last guy who you scapegoat. By the way, I find that very peachy. How is it that you win the coach of the year for the job that you did with your team and the offense and 5 quarterbacks, but somehow – the offensive coordinator who didn't call plays got fired in the same season. How was that possible?
Oh, no. Kevin didn't even do that. Oh, that was also ownership.
Okay.
I guess Kevin just gets macchiatos. I guess he just sits there looking good. Like, I don't know. I'd love this job. If I could get paid, like, I don't know, $10 million to be the meat shield and just show up and go, what are we doing today, guys? I could go for it. I am available. If Kevin doesn't want to do it, I'll be your Manchurian candidate. Jason Pinkston next on 92.3 The Fan. As it is a football Friday there, G. Bush, we're going to welcome on a man of our ilk, right? One of the hog mollies of Browns yesterdays. The great Jason Pinkston joins us every single Friday. He joins us now in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Pink, happy Friday, buddy.
Happy Friday, fellas. What an encore, by the way, man. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I got to say, like, because I saw you tweeting about it, so I was going to ask you what we started the show with, which is, what do you think is a more winnable game for their respective team, Gardo's Game 5 or Browns versus Eagles?
Got to go with the Guardians, man. They got some nice momentum. I tuned in to the last couple games, man. They're a good baseball team. It's actually nice to turn on the TV and watch some good baseball, unlike what we're dealing with down here in Pittsburgh with our team. Or we have an owner that doesn't, you know, he doesn't really value this team. And we struggle. We get good players. We have a great pitcher. He'll probably be an Indian in the next 3 or 4 years, or a Guardian in the next 3 or 4 years with some tall schemes, actually.
Hey, Pinks, they don't even notice. I listen to this segment with you guys every Friday. You know, I listen to it. If I can't catch anything, if I'm out and about, I'm always catching this segment because it's good to talk offensive line play, and it's good to talk what's going on in the trenches because I think it's overlooked a lot. And I got to ask you some questions here because You know, I think when we're looking around, and the most alarming thing that I see when you check out the All 22 is the Browns have been such a traditionally good run team with the guards and the Maulers, and the run scheme was, you know, so diversified, whether they were running a duo or the pin and pull stuff, and you just seemed, I used to always see Wyatt Teller, I used to say he's buy one get one free, he was always second level knocking fools out. And then we get to where we are today, and I know Bill Callahan is not the run game coordinator anymore. It just does not seem like the scheme up front is very creative. And I was telling Nick, sometimes on basic just stunts, like regular tackle end stunts and twists and techs, they just seem to not know who to block. Have you noticed that when you're watching the games as well?
I would have to agree with you 100%. I mean, we're all over the place. And, you know, I've been saying this since we started the Football Friday back in September, early September, that we have no identity of who we are. We don't know if we're going to be a run team or a pass team. It just doesn't, like, we just seem off. Everything's off. You know, we're missing Callahan tremendously in our run game. He was huge with obviously coaching the offensive line and helping coordinate the run game, but we're definitely missing him. And let's be honest, some of our guys are a little bit longer in the tooth. They're older. They can't do what they traditionally done in the past years. That's not saying that they're not good players still, that they play at a high level, but, you know, it seems like every series I'm seeing to watch, you know, someone's, you know, if we're running our pin and pull, there's too much, you know, penetration on this, and the play gets blown up or knocked off, and it just, you know, we're not getting much push and movement up front from our line right now. And it's, one, it's because of injuries, and two, that I just don't think, you know, we're not physically and schematically sound as we were the past couple of years. We used to have the best offensive line. Traditionally, we've had the best offensive line in the NFL, and I have not seen that yet this year. For our guys, and it's hard to watch at points. I mean, last Sunday's game was extremely hard to watch. That was a football game where you watch where you're like, wow, this is I hate to use the term that the saying that Tomlin uses all the time, but this looks like JV football for us. I mean, it's just bad.
Pink, is Deshaun Watson playing for his job on Sunday?
I don't think he is. I mean, I know a lot of people are coming down on Stefanski about, hey, bench him. You can't. He can't not bench him. For $260 million, whatever it is, he is going to take the field every Sunday until he cannot play anymore. Or we trade him, or he's hurt. I mean, that's where we're at. I mean, we've got to be realistic. You're not going to pay this guy this type of money to have him sitting on the bench. And it's a tough pill to swallow for some of us fans, but that's the reality of it. He's not going to come off the field unless he's hurt.
Pink, with that, are the Browns conceding the season if they roll with Deshaun for the next month, regardless of the results or his performance?
I don't believe so, because, I mean, I still have hope. I'm not going to give up on this football team, on the coaching staff. I still have hope for us that we can still fix this. I mean, we're still early into the season. You know, we haven't really played any AFC North games yet, which the games that count, which we need. I think we need to go out here Sunday and focus and take it one series at a time. We have no room to look forward to look down the schedule, down the line. We have to look at every game, series by series, play by play. We cannot let anything distract us but this game, this play, this series, and we need to try to come out with a win to get things going back in the right direction.
You know, one of the things I look at when I'm watching, and I went back to just watch, you know, I go back to 2020, and I, you know, watch how the Cleveland Browns played offense, and then I went back and took a look at the way they played when Joe Flacco was you know, they were playing then. There's one thing, and I think that they can definitely do to help him out. I just think the run game out of the shotgun is too difficult to gain a push. I think it eliminates a lot of the guesswork. It eliminates, to me, which is something that, you know, it's a lost art a little bit. One thing that Flacco really did a good job of was the play action game, the hard run sells, the hard run fake, the run actions. And now linebackers have to suck up a little bit. And now you're hitting guys over the middle. And now you're not counting on your receivers just beating man coverage or beating corners one after they know you're passing. My question to you is, what's stopping Kevin from going into the, you know, going in Berea, pulling out some of this film work and say, this is what we're going to be doing, guys?
I would have to agree with you 100%. You know, I hate the third down and one calls from the shotgun anyway to run. You know, all you're doing is giving these guys time to tee off and run downhill from you. I just think it's a thing where Deshaun is not comfortable under center. You know, dating back to his days at Clemson, he was always in the shotgun. He never really spent any time under center. So they figured, let's do something. Let's try to make him as comfortable as possible. But I would have to agree with you 100%. I would love to see him under center, hard play action, but that also starts with getting the run game going. You know, not having to abandon it when you're down, you know, 10, 15 points in the game. You know, you tend to you're off script and you're not running your plays that you want to. So we have to sit back there and pass, and then we have to try to keep the defense as honest as we can, and you hand the ball off, but you're in the gun. And these guys know it. These guys scheme us. They watch the same tape. They watch the same games that we see. That you know, and we're looking at this, and we can see it sitting from a couch eating buffalo wings. These guys are sitting in these meeting rooms, you know, 8-10 hours a day. They can see it clear as day as well themselves. You know, I can't put my thumb on it of what we need to do. You know, I'm not around those guys every single day, but there's definitely things that I can see that, you know, watching the games that we can do to improve ourselves and help ourselves. You know, we got to be productive on first and second down. We have not been productive on first and second down. You know, and that's half the battle there. You know, every time we get up, you know, I think at some point in time last week we were 0-for-11 on third down. We're never going to win. You will never win a football game in the NFL if you are 0-for-11 on third downs. It just won't happen. We have to find a way to be productive, whether it's a screen, a draw, play action pass. We have to win first and second down, primarily first down. That really helps us out.
Well, now I want buffalo wings. Pink, great stuff, buddy. Enjoy the game. Hopefully we get a double win weekend, a triple win weekend as well, Ohio State over Oregon. But appreciate your time as always, bud.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you, man. Have a good weekend.
You too, buddy. Jason Pinkston there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Notice I'm not even asking him for a prediction anymore. I'm not putting him in that position. Right. He gets despondent when he gets wrong, or when he gets it wrong because he just wants a win. When we come back, we ask him the question, is Deshaun playing for his job on Sunday? I can get into that next on 92.3 The Fan.